Hello, welcome to the Extremely Gay Podcast. I'm Freedom.
And I'm Erica.
And we're both extremely gay.
And extremely excited for this finale. Mm-hmm. I think I've used that one before.
So, if you're new here, you're getting here at the last episode, I guess. But we're recapping.
Skipping right to the good part.
Yeah, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 8. The finale, episode 12. And yeah, if you're new, you should go listen to all the other episodes first. But
unless you're like, you know, or if go you just ahead wanna separate the wheat from the chaff, and I only want the wheat, baby, you know.
That's true. But yeah, we're gonna recap the finale, and yeah, let's get into the episode.
This was my first time watching an All-Stars finale, and
oh, that's right.
It was just a little surprising how kind of like anticlimactic it is compared to the regular season finales.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be, I don't know, maybe bigger because it's like All-Stars.
Yeah, but like the first,
it's not season, a live finale, first of all.
That's the thing. Yeah, like I think I've seen 3 regular season finales, yeah. And 2 of them were like live in an auditorium, huge productions,
and one was COVID,
and right? One was COVID, yeah, so it's like Zoom. That one was anticlimactic, but like you understood why.
Yeah, there's for a reason. But yeah, All-Stars is usually still on the main stage, and they just do it a little differently.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, it was still a good episode. It was just like,
yeah,
I don't know, did you ever feel that way on like the last day of school or something, where you're like, aren't I supposed to feel sure. different? Isn't it supposed to feel like the last day of school?
Yeah, and I think also, you know, they added the Fame Games this season to spice it up, but that made the finale for me more anticlimactic, because it was like everybody was there. It was a normal, very normal episode, quote unquote, because there were so many people there. Like,
you feel like the drama would have been heightened if it was just the two of them?
Well, I think just the way they were so casual about it, I guess. The focus wasn't on the two finalists as much. It was on everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like even if everyone was there, I would have loved to see more of the finalists, I guess. But
yeah.
I get why. I guess
what I meant too, and that it just felt like a normal episode instead of a finale.
Yeah, because like I get why they did what they did, and I think it was a fun, different season. But yeah, it just didn't feel like a finale. So
yeah. But it is. They're not gonna make any more episodes of this season for us.
Yeah. But so they're on this kick, which they did on the regular season 15 as well, of original songs written for the contestants. They did this for season 15 for Sasha, and Anitra and Lux.
This is a very fascinating and like funny thing to do. It's funny because like the songs aren't always great, and it's also just,
no, it feels like copyright free music, you know, that's the vibe.
And this is such a great and easy way to rig the competition for the person you want to win. You just give them the best song.
Yeah, there's just like, there's no way there could be an equal playing field with this.
Yeah,
because they're not the ones actually recording it or doing something.
They're not in control of whether or not their song sucks.
Because I think it would have been more fair to give them both these songs,
yeah, but have them record the original song.
Yeah, well, like you could still have the exact same song, just have them record it, because
yeah,
in this case, or neither of them are like singers.
Have them write it. Like,
yeah,
it's odd.
I think it's like an odd choice.
Yeah.
I thought it was an odd choice for season 15. I still think it's an odd choice for All-Stars.
But it served its purpose in the exact same way both times, that the person who was supposed to win, wait, not to give anything away, but you've already watched the episode if you're listening to this, won.
Or you've seen it on social media at this point. But yeah, I'm not a fan of the original songs. I'm sure they put a lot of effort into them. They're just, to me, they sound like the songs that are written for like reality TV, you know, like for like Selling Sunset. They have like
My music Love written is Blind for it.
And, yeah, Love is Blind.
They're hilarious.
That the lyrics are very, very like on, I don't know, crass. Like it's like, it's very on the nose of like what's happening.
I also just feel like these songs aren't catchy enough. That's kind of my problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to them. Yeah. Again, I don't think.
And I just feel like when this is your finale and you're making songs for people and like mm-hmm. you have access to so many creative people, why not like have better songwriters on this?
Yeah, I guess the only one I have listened to Sasha's song since the finale.
Yeah,
hers was like, it was a really good song.
That's the thing.
It was a catchy song.
They were like, all right, obviously we're going to make one good song for mm-hmm. the person who we want to win. And then the other ones will be not as good.
Yeah.
And it's just...
If you hear one...
I mean, we did wonder aloud this whole season, how were they going to rig it for Jimbo? And mm-hmm. We got our answer. It. Yeah. So it's an elegant... a solution, I suppose, to make sure that what you want to have happen is what happens. But
I don't necessarily know that Jimbo's song was like that much better. I don't think either of them were that good.
Honestly,
but they were in the same vein, same style, but
it was more interesting. You know, like at the end, which one would you kind of remember more? Like, I felt like
Jimbo's.
Yeah.
We've got a very impatient dog here. So if you hear noises, these are our dogs moving around and whining.
I think he's just annoyed. Like, he can tell we're talking, but it's we're like not none of attention it is about him. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so the episode is very much a regular episode where they're in the workroom. You know, they just, we just had the Fame Game episode. And so everybody's there. And then Rue obviously announces, like, this is what's going to happen with the original numbers. You're going to get the song. You're going to get choreography.
And we have to watch A Life as Michelle hit on La La Rie. I think that happens at the beginning of the episode as well.
Uh-huh.
Just an awkward joke.
So, and also per finale traditions, they're having a tic-tac chit-chat with Rue and Michelle.
Yeah. Can you explain why tic-tacs?
I mean, I don't know how it originated, but there's a bowl of tic-tacs, and then I guess it's a funny name. But it's really just to sit down for a while. So for a while, I think that they started with the tic-tac chit-chat. It then moved into them, the finalist being guests on Rue and Michelle's podcast.
Yeah.
And then they stopped doing the podcast, so they went back to this tic-tac chat.
Oh, they just stopped doing the podcast?
I think so. I mean, I could be wrong, but they, I don't think they do the podcast anymore. But it used to be like a tea podcast, like a...
Yeah, kind of, I remember the episodes where they had them on as guests. Yeah.
So that's what that's replacing, because they still want like a chat with them.
Yeah.
Like, sit down, talk.
It feels a little bit like when they ask questions of the contestants on Miss America.
And yes.
It's like, this is your chance to give the kind of answers a winner gives.
Exactly, yeah. It's very much that, and it's like... Oh, look at how far you've come and how you grew up and like what does this mean to you? Like
winner answers.
Yes.
You know, they hit the right tone, the right amount of confidence and gratitude, and it's like, I don't think that Jimbo needs to like be coached on this stuff, but it's like but that's like what winner, you know, if you're a Miss America, you get coached to give those kind of answers.
This is true. And so, yeah, it's just, they start with Jimbo's, our dog is just making himself comfortable. Okay.
It's the same blanket you've laid on a million times. You can just, if you just scooch it a little more with your feet and, you know, turn around a little more, it'll be a totally different laying situation.
Yep. But yeah, so they start with Jimbo, do the tic-tac, chit-chat, and then it goes to the group, who's getting a surprise little box.
Oh yeah.
And this was just questions for them to answer, like and it started out as that, at least, where it's like, where will the queen to your left be in 5 years, or like, who would steal your man, all these things.
Yeah.
And then it just turns into, you get a cash tip, you get a cash tip, everybody gets a cash tip.
Yeah.
And Nasha won like five hotel nights or something like that. So it's just like questions and then a bunch of money and things given away to them, which was, you know, nice.
Yeah.
And then we have Candy's tic-tac chit-chat as well. I just feel like Rue and Michelle have a clear winner in mind.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a good chat. Okay,
Rue loves Candy, and that comes across as always. Mm-hmm. But this does, it. These feel like runner-ups answers, not winner's answers. Like, it just...
Yeah.
It's just, like, to the point where you're like, if Jimbo doesn't win this, then, like, this...
It'd be the shock of the century. Thematically
and, like, narratively doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so... then they start practicing their numbers, you know, doing the choreography on stage. And Candy's doing really well. She's really killing the choreography. And then when Jimbo's turn, they start out like she's struggling. It's mm-hmm. not good. And then towards the end of just like even that session, they were like, wow, she's killing it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she does get better. Like,
I think
like
because all of every single time they do a, uh-oh, is Jimbo
going to fail?
Going to fail. Yeah, this time like, narrative, it's never
gotcha,
real.
Gotcha.
Jimbo's
no.
always doing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just need to downplay her a little bit so that, yeah. you know, it's a surprise when she does well.
They're like, maybe she'll be bad and we won't let her win. Maybe.
Yeah. And also, we should mention that while they're practicing and doing this, everybody's there watching it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole group is there. They're just spectators.
Yeah.
As well. So, for commentary, I guess. And then they start getting ready.
I think they are like, this is actually, the show gets a little boring when we only have two people on.
Yeah, they're like, it's too quiet.
We have to have too much footage of them, like, moving shit around in the workroom, so.
Yeah, there was a couple episodes where I was like, they're just dragging this out.
Yeah. Like, it's like, they're showing stuff that's like, this can't be interesting enough for, you know, to make the episode. But oh, you were really hurting for footage, I guess.
Yeah. So they start getting ready for their performance, and with everybody there in the workroom, and you know, more content. Then there's going to be the performance of their songs. There's going to be a runway. And there's going to be a lip sync.
Yeah. And we didn't realize it was going to be a runway with everybody until it started happening.
No.
Like, oh, yeah.
I thought it was just the two of them.
I guess this makes sense considering
yeah.
the fame
yeah,
games, yeah. but we just weren't expecting it.
Yeah. No, I wasn't either. But more outfits.
Yeah, it was fun.
So it was good. And then clearly the theme of the evening was some sort of sparkles. Because Rue is wearing, like, a disco ball dress, basically. It was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle is wearing pure sparkle suit in, like, pink, which was also... I would wear that. I guess I do have that in blue.
Oh, yeah, you do!
So, 10 out of 10 would wear that. And Carson is wearing, like, a sparkly yellow jacket. And I guess Ross is the only one that wasn't sparkly.
Is wearing a blouse, as always, yeah. which I just never thought of until one episode where they called him, like, you know, the blouse wearer. And then now I see it every episode. I'm like, yes, that is a blouse. That's the correct term for that.
Yeah, that's true. And then it wouldn't be a finale without a performance from the one and only RuPaul.
Yeah.
This was... for ASMR,
I think it was just,
lover.
For some reason it just seemed a little more out of place and funnier on
because
that
it was on
stage.
The main stage.
Yeah, like because yeah, I'd seen her perform as part of like the big live finales, but it still surprised me a little bit to see her doing it right there. I don't know, it was just like funny. Also, she looked like if you are playing with like two different kinds of dolls, you know, from different brands. So one is like 1.5 times the size of the other one.
With and her and the dancers.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah. She's amazingly tall and I wish I could be that.
Yeah. Because you can tell. Like, it's not like the dancers are short.
No, not at
and
all.
They
she's
all
just
have like.
Really tall and wear heels.
Like similar proportions. She's just a step up in size from us mere mortals. And I love it.
Yeah, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And it was really shining moments for the backup dancers. I feel like they were flipping and dancing and doing all the things. And she was kind of just like, mm-hmm, yep, moving with you. I do like that song. It's ASMR Lover.
It's funny. I also just love that, like, RuPaul, like, hits on every single trend there is. You know, just like, is there a trend that RuPaul lets, like, escape by unnoticed? No.
Definitely not. And I think was this the one where the dancers were wearing the headsets?
Yes.
Right? And I was like, what does it have to do with ASMR? But okay. I guess you need a mic for ASMR.
Yeah.
Just not
that
kind of mic.
I mean, they look like gaming headsets, so like,
yeah,
you still could, not ASMR, you could,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, they can have them like carrying around.
That's the thing. If you're a dancer, mics, you have to have that something would be... that you can wear, yeah.
But
still, it was funny to me.
Yeah.
So we're starting with Jimbo. She is wearing like this white and black vinyl outfit corset thing with Mickey ears, basically.
I thought it was baseball themed. I think I'm wrong, but that's
it could be. There's like a cross stitch, like it was right? on a baseball.
Like it looked
that's
like
not what I thought of though when I saw.
I think I don't think I was right, but
because the baseball's not a cross stitch.
Also, actually. It doesn't have anything to do with what was happening in the song. So like I think I was wrong, but it didn't occur to me until like much later in the episode that maybe that's actually not supposed to be baseball themed.
I don't think so, because the song was like I remember being born.
Yeah, but to me it looked so clearly. It looked like a take on like a lady's baseball outfit, you know, like the from like A League of Their Own. And then the like headpiece looked like it was made out of a giant baseball. And so I just thought, like, I didn't even debate it. Is this baseball themed? Yes, of course. But anyways, yeah, I think I was wrong. I don't think it's supposed to be baseball themed. So however you describe it, I'm just going to say, yeah, you're right.
But it was very, it gave like dead mouse to me, because that's all I think of when I think of like the Mickey ears outside of Mickey Mouse.
Hell yeah. I like dead mouse.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like very Jimbo. I liked it. Didn't love the song. Choreography, she definitely picked up the choreography and did good with the choreography that was given.
Like, I thought the song was kind of a dud, and for the first like 30 seconds I was a little worried, where I was like, I can imagine a scenario where Candy does better than this, like,
yeah, if Candy got
this isn't
song.
Going as well as maybe I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then we had Candy with her original song,
which was even less good.
I think they were, like, they seemed like they were trying to create similar songs, but made for them personally, because they had a similar sound. I would say it's, like, a little, I want to say, like, maybe not 80s, but, like, it was, like, a little, there was the same vibe. I don't even know what you would call that, but.
Genre?
I think
the... the problem, or maybe it was intentional and not a problem, is just that partly because Jimbo is such a specific kind of queen, and like making a song about Candy's personality, like, it's just there are a lot of drag queens that you could have that song be their song.
Sure, yeah.
And so Jimbo's just was like more memorable, stuck out more.
Yeah.
And Candy's was like a little generic, and
so
because I was a little worried for Jimbo until Candy's song started, and I was like, oh no, this is actually worse.
Yeah, and she was wearing like this orange bodysuit. I was surprised she didn't have more to her costume, honestly, or like,
it
seemed a little basic for the finale to me.
Yes, and I thought her makeup didn't look great, and usually her makeup. Like, I have to comment on how fucking fantastic it looks. Like, it usually is, like, ethereal. I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And I just... it's not like it was bad, of course, but it wasn't up to her normal standard. And that was just odd. Because it's the finale, I expect it's going to be, like, the best. But, it, you know, it just wasn't her best look.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she was wearing a lot less blush, which is kind of her signature, so I was like a little surprised by that.
Yeah, maybe that made the difference.
Yeah, because usually she wears a lot of blush and she wears it pretty high up on her cheeks and like up to the temples, basically.
I do remember my eye was kind of drawn to her contour instead in a way that like...
Yeah, because normally there's so much blush.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, yeah, maybe that is why.
Like, they kind of made fun of her in one episode where they were all...
They all put the blush on, yeah.
Yeah, like I like her blush, so I was...
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that. And see an orange blush to match the outfit or something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think my eye just, I don't want to be drawn to the contour. Like that, mm-hmm. I feel like contour is supposed to make your, it's an illusion of your face. You're not supposed to be looking right at it, I guess, you know.
Yeah, sure. And then for like the, I guess, finale of it all, they all come out on stage in like these, like, white sequined robes as like a gospel performance to I'm a Winner Baby, or like a remake of I'm a Winner Baby by RuPaul. So that's the whole cast
yeah
coming out and doing that together with the finale with the two finalists. And then that's kind of it for the singing performances. So we move to the runway, which is everyone.
Yeah, which yeah was a surprise, but a pleasant surprise.
Yes, and the category was, like, finale fabulosity, I think
yeah.
they called it, so.
And, like, 80% of people, I feel like, understood the assignment.
Yes, agreed. So, starting out, so they're going in order of eliminations, starting with Monica. So, Monica...
understood the assignment.
Yes, it was all purple, purple feathers, like a tulle boa thing that I really liked. The only thing I didn't love her wig, but I thought she looked great. Overall,
yeah, I thought it was her best look of the season, mm-hmm. and
as the finale should be.
Exactly, like mm-hmm. you're supposed to be on like a step above at the finale, and she understood that, and so clearly, like, I feel like a third of her entire budget probably went towards that look, you know, like
yeah, sure.
It was definitely kind of a step up from her other looks, and I thought she looked great.
Yeah, agreed. And then we had Nasha wearing all pink. Glitter, like a light pink wig, and this like large kind of cape thing with like a big shoulder moment. I like this, may just because I like pink a lot, but I thought this was cute.
Yeah, this just didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm. But I love glitter, I love pink, and it had all the things that I like, so.
I think I might just have something against that kind of like poofiness or whatever. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it was just, I was like, eh.
Yeah, I like this one. Then we had Kasha, who had this black and white outfit with like a velvet outfit and then a little like cover up thing over, which the inside was like stripes and the outside or whatever was like floral, but it was all black and white still.
Yeah.
And so while I think this was good for Kasha, I'm not a fan of mixing those patterns. I can't
see. Yeah. Yeah, my first thought was like, okay, this looks pretty good, but like I don't trust Kasha anymore, and so I couldn't form an opinion until she turned around, because I'm like, I don't know if there's going to be a cutout in her ass, and like I can't say I like this until I know. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So literally, I had to wait till she turned around until I was like, okay, yeah, no, it's a good dress. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, I saw what you meant about like those patterns didn't necessarily go together. And I feel like, I don't know, Kasha made so many strange choices sartorially this season that it's like she's got to throw in a little something.
She made a Kasha, I will say that. It's on brand.
Yeah, yeah. You got to throw in something that's just like, that doesn't look good to anybody but you, but okay.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
But, God, this could have been so much worse. And we've seen that.
It could have. That's true. Next up, we have Darian. And this was... maybe my biggest disappointment.
I was disappointed.
Because Darian always looks incredible.
She's killed it all season.
She's got great outfits. She's got everything going. Like, makeup, hair, outfit, everything is always great. And I don't know what this was. I don't know why this was a thing. But it was like a... it was three reveals. Which, you know, I appreciate a reveal. But... the more she revealed, the more she revealed that it's like, it was chartreuse, but it was green. mesh green
thing. Also, just like there's a reason chartreuse is used so infrequently that most people don't even know what color it is, because it's not a very pleasant color to look at.
Yeah. And so it all reveals into this like mesh sparkly bodysuit with like appliques where they
it just looks like boobs.
Yeah, that was like over the boobs and the crotch. And I didn't like it.
Wore a pube suit.
It was for the finale. With the cover ups. Why would you do that? It's still a pretty dress, but then the more she took off, the more it was that bodysuit.
I was saying, I was already disappointed from the first moment, but it was its best moment. Yeah. It was a disappointment because I've been in love with so many of Darian's looks, and it would have been great to see her really
shine in like a giant gown, like, you know, like something really cool.
Yeah, and I do get it. It's like she takes risks, and those don't always pay off. And I know, like, really she's off. Yeah, and she's taken some risks that I've been thrilled with that other people have hated. Mm-hmm. So like maybe this really worked for some other people, but I would say at the minimum, just like if she really wanted to do this look, I think it needed like the utmost perfect tailoring, and then maybe that like could have helped it, but it like fit okay, and that made it worse.
Yeah, and I think to either go all green, all chartreuse, whatever, or all black. Like, I don't necessarily, I feel like the black and the green is very Disney villain to me. And
oh yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, and so for that reason, I feel like go all one color or something, go, you know, monochromatic, and it would look nicer and more expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just, chartreuse is a weird choice. Yeah. A weird choice for a finale. Yeah.
So next up, we have James. And James was maybe my favorite of the whole evening, tied with Kahana. James did Vegas showgirl all in orange. It was gorgeous. It was fantastic.
I loved it.
Yeah. And it was like something we haven't seen from her. If Kahana had done
it, it would have been a little bit like predictable. Like, haven't we seen this from you a little bit? But it's so new on James. So
James has never done anything like this, yet it makes perfect sense for James to do this, honestly.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
And just gorgeous. And it's like, yes, that's the idea. This is the finale. So this should be...
It should be...
This is the time to go...
Yeah, go big.
Yeah, like, go big because you're going home later, you know?
Exactly. And then next we had Kahana, which also, same thing here, did something completely different from what she's done before.
You guys think I can only do Vegas showgirl looks? Well, watch this.
Yeah, she had this like sunflower cape that opened up to this like sparkly inside, and she had this gorgeous like crown, and the bodysuit on the inside was like mesh nude, but it had this like, it was basically like the outlines of your skeleton in flowers and like sparkles and like whatever sequin.
Yeah. It was inspired by some deities from I was gonna say what belief system I think they're from, but I don't want to be wrong, so I'm just gonna not.
Yeah, I don't know
for sure. But I think I know, but I did know when she mentioned it, I was like, yes, I totally can see that. Yeah, but I feel like even if you didn't know what she was referencing, it's
a cool look either way.
Yeah, like it looks I don't know, like otherworldly almost, like it's really gorgeous.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, I loved it.
Next up we had Lala in this gorgeous red gown, had like a ruffled skirt that was huge.
Yeah.
Really pretty dress, short like flat wig, which I'm not always a huge fan of, but she looks good in it.
Yeah. I was so happy. I thought the fit and the proportions of the dress were perfect. And that is frequently like what Lala has struggled with on the runway, is sort of just like the tailoring isn't right, the fit isn't right. And that kind of a skirt, you can easily go wrong in the proportions. And I thought it was like, it's a perfect like diameter, you know, like,
yeah, it was
like,
great.
And perfect length, you know, like it was just, and it fit her great. And so, it was like good to see. Yes, you nailed that by the end of the season. Okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had Alexis. Alexis had this red gown, giant collar. I said Disney villain here too.
Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, this absolutely looks like the person who is introduced as just like a powerful person, maybe the mayor or something. And then you find out later in the movie, the mayor is the villain? Yeah. Oh, who could have seen this coming?
But I will say her makeup looked a little different. She looked like younger to me. I don't know. I couldn't pinpoint what it was. Maybe it was contacts. Maybe it was something else. But she looked a little different to me. And I did like her makeup. And the gown was fine. I mean, it was compared fine. To like James and Kahan, I didn't think it was like anything amazing. Yeah,
I don't think it was finale worthy.
I thought it was cute.
But also, it was very hard. I've been an Alexis Michelle hater for at least 3 episodes now, and I'm standing by it. I just, yeah. I feel like I see her and I roll my eyes now. I can't even help it.
Mm-hmm. So next up, we had Jessica, who had this pink satin gown. And I think it fit Jessica really well. Like, I think it fits her brand and her drag.
I really liked it. Yeah.
I love the pink. I didn't love, she had some like other color on the inside of the dress and like the ruffles and everything of it, or like folds, that to me made it look cheap. And Erica pointed out that it's very like 80s style, which I think is true.
Yes. And it's just like, it's a kind of 80s style that now with time has come to look cheap. So I could understand why that white came off that way to you, but my immediate association with it was just like how 80s it was.
Yeah.
And I thought I liked it for that reason. So I feel like it was sort of the same detail was polarizing between the two of us.
Yeah.
But I thought she looked great.
But I thought she looked great. Yeah. Either way. And then our finalists are joining the runway. So Jimbo's first. This amazing like patterned dress. She looks gorgeous.
This was great.
Yeah. She nailed called herself it. A demon goddess, which I think was just perfect.
Yeah.
And she just does that so well. It's like pretty, but goth and interesting.
Yeah. And like with the level and variety of looks Jimbo has given us this season, like you could think, oh, it might be hard to figure out. Like, how do you top that for a finale look? But I feel like she nailed it. Like, this was.
She really did.
Yeah. A fantastic finale look, and like it was just so well done, so unique, so interesting, so cool. Yeah, loved it.
And then lastly, we had Candy, who had this like yellow gown. It was like a feather skirt and like a sparkly top part of the dress. I've seen other people talk about this on social media too.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the nicest way, but.
Yeah, we didn't love it. I don't know what anyone else thinks. I didn't
love how it fit her.
Yeah.
Because the skirt was cut so high. So it started way high up, giving her very little shape. And I know she doesn't necessarily, she does a lot of corsets, she does shape, but she doesn't do gowns a lot. And so I don't know if that's why what went wrong. Like, this is not normally what she does, but I just didn't think it was that flattering on her.
Yeah, because also like there was it was partly, you know, the length of the skirt, and there is a slit all like up the side, but you can't see it unless she's actively opening it, and so that means most of the time it just looks like a long straight skirt, you know, like so like you need to, I don't know, like for that to work, the slit needed to be more pronounced, you know, and maybe the skirt needed to be a little shorter. Like, it did feel like, I don't know, it felt like the person who made it was like 2/3 of the way done or 75% of the way done with like a great outfit, and they're like, don't have time to finish it. So yeah,
which I was could be like, true. They are always crunched for time when they're preparing for this. But
I'm sure, I don't know. I think it's also because this is the finale. It was like,
yeah, there's just, wait, a
why
standard.
Is this your finale look? Like, we've
you've
seen
had
so many great
way
looks
better looks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was underwhelmed.
Yes.
But also, you know, everything's coming together for her to be the runner-up, so hold on.
Yeah, that's true. So then they do the judges' critiques, and I feel like kind of to sum up the critiques is they start with Jimbo, which is all like, here are all your amazing moments, and there's so many, and Rue is like, you remind me of the queens I grew up with, like, all this really nice stuff.
And, like, you had all these wins and all, you know.
All these moments just and highlights.
By the stating the highlight reel, it's like.
Oh, there's so many.
Okay, so it will make no, it would make no sense for anyone else to win. There's no, like, you can't say all that and then have her lose. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, and then for Jimbo, there's like, for Candy, there is like two highlights. Like, the it wire like hangers. Kind
of backhanded compliments for Candy?
Yeah, because they're like, you're a star, you're incredible, you've had so much personal growth, and I'm
you've
so proud
so far.
Of
you.
I'm so proud
to
of
us.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think that you were going to get this good, but you have.
Like, yeah, versus with Jimbo, they're like, you're incredible, you're amazing, you were perfect when you got here, you're perfect now, basically. Yeah. And with Jimbo,
Candy
with-
was just like, my expectations were low, exactly. But you have taken all my advice, and I like that a lot, so now I like you.
Well, it's like, the you're incredible versus I'm proud of you, like that alone, I'm like, I'm proud of you doesn't mean anything about how incredible, and it just means like they're proud of your progress and what you've done, but
yeah,
not that they're like blown away by it, you know.
Yeah No, I mean it felt yes, the tone was markedly different.
Yes. So after the critiques, we reveal the Fame Game winner,
yeah,
which was Lala Ri,
which I think proves that yes, this was just a popularity contest. Yes. Because definitely Lala Ri did not have the best runway looks this season.
No,
but we all fucking love her, and she was great.
I love Lala,
so of course I was thrilled for her that she won.
Yeah, but part of me couldn't help but wonder, would she have won if she didn't have the times three?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it did feel like, okay, so once again, we see RuPaul's strategy to make sure the person she wants to win worked.
Yeah, because I have
good
no
job.
I have
short
no
PA
idea
who was standing behind that wheel and made sure that Lala Ri got more points.
I have no like awareness of like how many votes are being cast in this, you know,
yeah,
competition.
And they didn't tell us.
It's either. Not like, oh, this person got 1,000 votes and this person got 2,000 votes, like,
yeah,
is that the scale we're talking? Is it more than that? It might be way more than that. I could be totally off, but then it's like a times three in that situation makes a huge difference.
Yeah
It makes a huge difference no matter how many points it was, but
yeah, any, just think about any election and the one person gets, but your votes are multiplied by three.
By three.
This doesn't seem fair anymore.
Because even if you're
actually, that's kind of how the Electoral College works, and that's why we keep having Republican presidents.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, I love Lala, and I wanted her to win the Fame Games. I wanted her or James to win the Fame Games, so I was happy that they were in the top two and they were getting these multiple votes.
Yeah.
But There is a world where Lala could have gotten the least amount of votes if they're all that close, and she would have won
that's
either
true.
Way.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if they were all close in votes, and then someone gets times two and someone gets times three, they're going to be one and two.
But, like, let's be real. RuPaul and the producers picked who was going to win all this shit before the season even started. And
yes.
We have just been along for the ride.
Yes. And then lastly, we have our final lip sync ever of this All-Star season.
Yeah.
Jimbo is wearing this sparkly pink thing with the largest chest plate I've seen in my life.
Yeah. And the boob butt is back.
The boob butt is back. And then Candy's wearing this giant silver coat that's all shoulders.
Yeah.
It's just shoulders.
It's very 80s.
Yes.
And like very odd, but I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was it was better than her gown look. I felt like
It was fun.
Mm-hmm. So they lip sync. Jimbo pulls out a phone, reveals pasty, says all these things. Candy eventually takes off the coat and reveals a silver bodysuit. Which I don't think anyone was surprised by.
They also immediately reveal very different strategies for this lip sync. Jimbo is going funny and Candy is trying to go sexy. And
we know funny beats sexy every time.
On RuPaul's Drag Race and a lip sync, you can't take yourself seriously when somebody else is making people laugh. It doesn't work. Like, no. And whoever is getting the laughs, that's who the judges are looking at. If you can make
RuPaul
like,
laugh, chances are you're winning.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, not every, like, not every lip sync can be really funny. You know, some people try to be funny and it's still not working. So it's not like, sure, just joke around, be a goof. Well, it could be
funny against funny and someone's funnier, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, if you can see that the other person is going funny, you got to stop trying to be sexy behind them. It's not working.
Well, then you got to play it like crass and be like, do sexual jokes and be funny that way if you've started sexy. Yeah. Maybe.
But, or at least like you have to then be acting sexy in a way that seems self-aware that you know it's silly, you know, like
exactly. Yeah, it's just that serious.
One person taking themselves seriously doesn't work when somebody else is being a goof. It just like
no, it doesn't
it
work.
Immediately undercuts.
It's never worked.
It makes you yeah it's never worked. Yeah, and it is just like this literally has never worked. We've never seen a lip sync where one person was making the judges laugh and the other one was being sexy and the sexy one won. So yeah, like we Candy should you learn. Should know that you've seen the show, right?
Yeah,
I think, I hope you've seen more episodes of me.
Yes. And so then it is revealed that our winner for this season.
Dun, dun, dun.
Shocker is Jimbo, which I'm very excited by.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, okay, all is right in the world. Things work the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense. Mm-hmm. We are smart and, you know, not crazy for
we can see what's been going on.
Yeah, like it would have been just confusing if we weren't right, you know. It was like, wait, are we
I would have the shock of century.
Are we like conspiracy theorists like looking for clues that aren't there, you know?
I'm really concerned for us. Yeah,
we're conspiracy realists.
Yes,
and we have uncovered the rigging of the game that is obvious to everyone and everyone has uncovered.
Yes, making Jimbo the first international.
But also, it's like
winner.
Yes, it was rigged, but also Jimbo was should
well,
have
like
won.
Well, it's like with Sasha Colby. Obviously, yeah. Sasha Colby deserved to win her season because she's incredible and she won a bunch of challenges and she did really well.
She was
well.
Consistently fantastic at everything.
But also, we knew from the start that she was gonna win, kind of because she's Sasha Colby.
It's the correct narrative for this season.
Well, so yeah, she had put in the years and the work, and so is Jimbo.
And RuPaul is trying to drastically change course from their previous like opinions that trans women shouldn't be part of drag, and the LGBT community was like, that you're wrong, RuPaul, and RuPaul is like. RuPaul responds to the changing, you know, tides.
Yep, he is.
And so, yeah, it was the right thing. It was time.
Yes, 100%. And Jimbo is now...
So something can be rigged and fair at the same time is what we've learned.
Uh-huh. Well, so, and this makes Jimbo the first international queen that's been an All-Stars queen.
Yeah.
Although Canada is not that far from us, but it is international.
But it was
still
a four-hour plane ride.
Yes. And... Yeah, that's it for the finale. Untucked was not super eventful, besides the fact that we learned that Jessica hasn't changed, like she hasn't aged in 13 years.
Yeah.
Because Kahano's talking about how Jessica was her inspo.
You're the reason I got into drag when I was a little child, growing up
Jessica's
watching
so
her
old.
Season.
She's not.
Which, like,
she's not.
Must, you know, feel like a backhanded compliment a little lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and that was another thing, too, I was thinking, like, it's part of why it was just so obvious Jimbo should win is like Jimbo has an additional like 15 years of experience doing this. Like we for too long our culture has prized youth so much that it has like frequently created this like illusion that you create your best work when you're young and then you like walk off to rot for the rest of your days.
It's not true.
Which it's not true at all. Like of course someone a 40-year-old drag queen is going to be better than a 23-year-old drag queen because you've been doing it for 20 fucking years. Like,
I think Candy's one of the youngest of the season, if I am not wrong.
Yeah. Like, those are guesses at age, you know, in case I'm wild.
I think Candy's in her late 20s, honestly.
I think Jimbo's around 40, right?
Jimbo is definitely in her 40s. I don't know. I think it's early 40s, but nonetheless, she's put in a lot of years to perfect and hone her craft and skills.
Yeah, and I was glad to see in Untucked, like, Candy was taking the loss very well, like not upset about it.
Yeah, yeah, which she is great about it.
Is good because I think it's obvious that, like, yes, Jimbo was the clear winner, mm-hmm. but like also obviously Candy is gonna be killing it with 20 extra years of experience. Just like, this wasn't your time. Yeah, her
20 years is gonna be incredible. Yeah, like
and so there was no reason to like be like, what am I not good enough, what did I do wrong, like,
yeah, it's,
you know,
just years of experience. Yeah, honestly.
And like this, yeah, she doesn't get $200,000 right now, but like she has a whole career.
Well, she's gonna be able to get so many gigs, yeah, and opportunities after the show.
Yeah,
because she's been in the top, she's been runner-up basically twice now.
Yeah,
like her career is gonna be just fine, I think.
Yeah, yeah, like she still gets everything out of this that she needs to get out of this.
Yeah, okay. And like, honestly, you win money like this, it's so highly taxed, you're not getting $200,000.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, so I think she'll make up the money in just gigs alone that she'll get, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So I was glad to see that, like, because yeah, that's one of my issues with competition, is that it makes people think that the person who won is great and the person who is second, like, should feel like shit about themselves. It just has never made sense to me. So I was glad to see that, like, she was not fazed by it.
Yeah, no, me too.
And Jimbo was really happy and like, yeah, good. You deserve it. You deserve this win. Enjoy it.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's it for this season. We're officially wrapped up for this whole season.
Wild.
So, you know, if you have any thoughts, ideas, suggestions of what you'd like us to do next, we certainly have some ideas, but open to suggestions. I would love to highlight more like local drag and like local queens and stuff, because those are the ones you should go on support. They need your tips. They need
your money. Your local drag queens.
Yeah. And so yeah, if you want to see more of Erica and more of us, Erica has a podcast called Alias Watching Reality TV. I'm on some of the episodes. And if you want
to, right now we're covering Too Hot to Handle season 5, which mm-hmm. is ridiculous. So if you like ridiculous things, you'll like it.
Yeah. You can follow us on social media at Erica and Frida, or our individual accounts. I'm at Hey It's Frida, Hey with a J, and Erica is at Erica Heidewald. And
if you've been listening this whole season, maybe you've learned how to spell it by now. I hope so.
Hopefully. If not, you can go practice. I believe in you.
Yeah. It's only 9 letters.
We'll see you soon. Hopefully. All right. Bye.
Love you. Love you so much. See ya.